The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Well, I'm looking at Mark Halperin's political newsletter this today. Like first thing I look at in the morning for politics stuff, and he has been saying for a long time, look, Trump is winning. No matter what the mainstream media wants to tell you, Trump is winning. That is not what he's saying today. There's yet another poll out after a couple that, were they outliers or not? Turns out they are not. Where Biden closed the gap or pulled the head, and his conclusion is currently, nationally, Biden is now winning. So one of your major polling organizations, in which Trump had had a 4-point lead in February, a 2-point lead in March, he's now behind Biden by 3. So the State of the Union address, the Democrats doing a good job of reminding people who Trump was? I don't know. Do you have an explanation for the movement in the polls?
I think it was always going to be close. It reminds me of a really close basketball game in the second quarter. You got 2, 3, 5-point leads going back and forth.
Okay. So, yeah, we got a long way to go, and that's probably going to happen multiple times before we get then. I'm certainly expecting, like the last several elections, we're all going to go to bed on election night, maybe not knowing who won, or it being very close.
Yeah, certainly possible. And it's, to state the obvious, it's all about the swing states. I need to see those polls.
Absolutely.
And take them with a grain of salt as well, because it's early.
So Trump did an interesting thing yesterday. He's in the courtroom all day long, as he's got to be, and they sat 7 of the 12 jurors yesterday. The trial is going to start on Monday. He has to be there every single day. He's not a campaign trail. Biden is trying to take advantage of that by campaigning. You'll hear that in a moment. But one thing Trump can do is he can do a little something in New York when he gets out of the courtroom. And he went up to Harlem, and we'll explain exactly what's going on after you hear this.
This is all politics. This is coming out of the White House. And, you know, it makes me campaign locally, and that's okay. That's not... I don't think so. There we go. We're doing better now than we've ever done. So I think it's having a reverse effect. You know what? All I want is fairness. And these people have to be treated better. The Bodega Association, bodegas, because every week they're being robbed 2-3 times. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you know what? The police can do it. They can stop it. But they have to be allowed to do their job.
4 more years! 4 more years!
In Harlem, he gets out of his limo, gets treated like a rock star. People going nuts. 4 more years, etc. And then makes the point. That was the very bodega where that poor guy had to defend himself. And Alvin Bragg put the bodega owner in jail for a long time until there was enough public pressure nationally to say, hey, the guy got attacked. He had to defend himself. What was he supposed to do? And Trump making the point yesterday that same Alvin Bragg who put the bodega owner in jail and left the criminal, the violent criminal on the street, is the guy that is coming after me over this Stormy Daniels nonsense. So that's some pretty good PR, especially with that crowd noise behind him, the four more years chance. That's a good day for Trump, I think.
Yeah, that is one of the more brilliant political stunts I've ever seen. And I don't mean stunt in a dismissive way. That all politics is stunts, practically. But no, that was brilliant to do that. And when Trump is addressing the concerns of real people,
right,
he's a rock star. When he gets off the stupid stolen election stuff, and it's not that all of it is stupid. You know, we could get into the details, but just stick with the things people care about. That stuff about the crime in the bodegas, you just got the vote of every bodega owner in New York, for what it's worth, in a blue state. But nonetheless, that's good politics.
Yeah, that's always been the case if he'd stick to the issues. But so he's doing that, and people chanting his name and everything like that. Biden's trying to take advantage of the fact that Trump is in court every day and doing some campaign-style speeches. Listen to this. What did I call this earlier in our meeting? A laundry list of BS.
Looks at the world differently than you and me. He wakes up in the morning in Mar-a-Lago thinking about himself, how he can help his billionaire friends gain power and control and force their extreme agenda on the rest of us. Listen to what he says. He says, quote, I'll be dictator on day one. Quote, I am your retribution. He promises, quote, a bloodbath if he loses. This guy denies January 6th. Listen to what he says, because you know he means it.
I can't believe the great, I'm going to be the grown-up, I'm going to normalize politics, I'm going to get us, bring us all together, is going with the dictator day one bloodbath stuff. Really? Okay.
It's like I say when discussing issues and that sort of thing. People don't go with terrible arguments because they're saving the good ones. It's because that's all they've got. That was sad. And not only the content of it, but he just sounds terrible. Speaking of which,
bloodbath,
unless you have more on that.
Bloodbath in particular has been taken apart even by lefties of like, come on, it's a common term in economics. That's what he was talking about. You know that's what he was talking about. He was talking about the electric car industry. He wasn't, whatever.
Yeah, I know. Low information voters are most voters, and they're counting on that. Speaking of Biden in Pennsylvania, this was his couple of highlights, if you will, from his speech in his hometown of Scranton. 42, please, Michael.
You know, thanks to the mayor. Paige, I was going to talk about the old mayor. Put a whole cord around the kitchen table with a guy who was sort of the David Broder of the Pennsylvania Press, the Scranton Press. You think I'm kidding? It wasn't. But
no, I don't.
Anyway, and he would they'd come and have breakfast at the table, and a kid could wander around the table where the adults were sitting, but you could never sit at the table. My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton.
So I listened to that whole dinner table David Broder of Scranton. I'm not kidding. Nobody thought you were. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
I don't follow you at all, sir.
No, I listened to that whole thing, and it doesn't get better or, like, start to make sense. I've been saying this for a long time. Like, poor guy's got dementia, but the stories are still in there. The stories he's repeated 1,000 times at various dinners and rallies and stuff like that are still in his head. He just can't get them out anymore.
Right. Yeah. A lot more on that to come. Although I think one aspect of it being this early in the election cycle is that as more and more people are exposed to that, the perception that he is senile and spent that was slowed a bit
spent
by the State of the Union. Yeah.
I told somebody the other day I was a spent force. I might be.
Yeah. I have those days. Anyway, there will be a resurgence of that sentiment. I wanted to hit one more thing about Biden and his speech in particular. 41, if you'd be so kind, Michael.
He looks at the economy from Mar-a-Lago, where he and his rich friends embraced the failed trickle-down policies that have failed working families for more than 40 years. Scranton values or Mar-a-Lago values, Under my plan, nobody earning less than $400,000 will pay an additional penny. I hope you're all able to make $400,000. I never did.
So I read. Wow, that's right.
How does he get to say that out loud? Dude, you got like five houses. You live on the ocean in one of the most expensive areas of the world. I would downplay the whole I never made much money thing.
That is tough to take. That's not where I was going to go with this, but you're right. That is so tough to take. A note on that $400,000 figure in a moment after a quick word from our friends at HelloFresh. Enjoy the taste of the spring season with flavorful recipes featuring freshly picked ingredients delivered right to your doorstep. There's no grocery store trip required, all thanks to HelloFresh. Time after time, Judy and I will whip up a HelloFresh meal, and I'll tell her, if I'd ordered this at a restaurant, I would order it again the next time I was there. It's that good.
Maybe you're a decent cook, and so it's just the advantages Joe was talking about. It's healthier, it's fresh, it's easy, it's actually cheaper than going to the grocery store, ordering out, all that sort of stuff. But if you're like helpless like me, I have made some meals like I can't believe that I made them because I don't know how to do anything. But with their super easy instructions and all the ingredients there and the right portions are anything, I've put them together. It's amazing.
Enjoy more time in the sunshine, less time in the kitchen with the ready in 20-minute recipes. Even when you're extra hurried, sign up for HelloFresh right now. Get free dessert for life at HelloFresh.com/Armstrong Sweet. That's one free dessert item in every HelloFresh box with an active subscription just by going to HelloFresh.com/Armstrong Sweet. So back in 2020, when Joe Biden, to the shock and horror of many Americans, decided to run for president, he was campaigning on the we need to raise taxes on the rich and no one who makes less than $400,000 will be taxed. A couple of points on that. That is a very common old technique. You peg a tax at a certain level to get it started, and then you lower that level steadily every chance you get. Maybe you're in favor of a policy, maybe you're not, but trust me, that's the only direction this goes under Democrats. Second, and more interesting, thanks to the inflation that Mr. Biden is certainly due some of the credit for, that 2020, $400,000, only the rich are going to pay that. He's still saying $400,000, which in 2020 dollars is $331,000.
Wow, is it really?
Ouch. So nobody who makes less than $331,000 is going to get hammered with these high taxes. Wait a minute now. What just happened?
Ouch.
Inflation is a tax.
Wow, that's rough.
I wish we had time because I was going to discuss that principle in this context that according to, I think it's the folks at Centers for Immigration Studies, have said that illegal immigration is costing American taxpayers over $150 billion. Meanwhile, you know, the corporations that are in favor of rampant illegal immigration are making lots of money, which makes the economy hot, which you've probably heard about. But not only is it depressing wages on the working class, especially, but the economy, inflation that's being caused is also a tax, again, on the working class. Democratic policies are incredibly expensive for the very people that that party claimed to have been standing up for years and years. Incredibly expensive.
Also want to get to this. Sometimes when high-profile men are accused of sexual crimes, they did it. But sometimes they didn't. They really didn't. And one of those high-profile things came to an end yesterday. Jeez, you could get your life ruined fast. A bunch of stuff on the way. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You should never brush after you've just vomited. This is because the contents of the stomach are extremely acidic and the mouth is in a very acidic state. So if you brush straight after, you're basically wearing away your enamel. You should never brush straight after breakfast. This is because if you brush your teeth, you're rubbing that acid on the tooth, which is a mineral, and it can wear it down. Don't brush your teeth after you've just had sweets. Wait at least 60 minutes. This is because when you've just eaten sweets, the mouth has digested it into an acid, and that acid is going to get rubbed on the teeth and destroy the enamel.
Is that true? Don't brush your teeth after sweets?
No.
It's not true?
No, that sounds dumb to me.
How about don't brush your teeth after you vomit?
I'm gonna.
I'd rather you did.
Thanks for the suggestion, dear. I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, are you using toothpaste in this scenario? You're brushing the acid off of your teeth, not onto it.
What I like in general is just this trend right now of... You've been sleeping wrong your whole life. You've been putting your socks on wrong since you were a child. You know, that sort of thing.
Sure. Edited super tight to eliminate all the pauses. And yeah, oh, stop it.
Still drinking water out of a cup? Here's why. Five reasons that's a bad idea.
Please.
So, obviously, the whole men got away with horrible stuff thing was real. Harvey Weinstein not believed, or you know, we had a bunch of examples. And then the whole hashtag Me Too movement happened, and then the believe all women became a thing, which is moronic, because you can't believe all anybody about anything. That doesn't make any sense. And here's a good example, and these don't ever get enough attention. You don't have to be a sports fan to know this, but if you are a sports fan, you know Trevor Bauer. He's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. And I remember when this story broke, and I remember hearing it enough times thinking, I'll bet he did it. He probably did it. I just assumed he did it. Well, it ended yesterday, and he didn't do it. So he was pitching for the Dodgers. He got, I'll get into what he was charged with by this woman or what this woman claimed for a while. But he was with the Dodgers in January 23, long suspension. They wouldn't let him play during the whole time while just the accusations were going on, because that's what sports leagues do. And it was so
particularly
long,
at that time, as you mentioned, fever pitch.
Yeah. So long suspension. Cy Young Award winner, by the way. I mean, this is a good pitcher. And so he's with the Dodgers. They suspend him. They just let him go. He's been pitching in Japan and Mexico ever since, because no Major League Baseball team will touch him. Well, yesterday, the accuser got indicted for defrauding the former Cy Young Award winner. According to legal papers that came out, this woman who had allegedly demanded $1.6 million, claiming that he impregnated her and that he choked her and did all these different sorts of things. They figured out through a variety of ways that aren't that interesting that he didn't do it. And she's a scam artist. And that's what was going on there. And there was another woman, too. That's the reason I remember thinking at the time he probably did it, because there's another woman who had come forward. But he came to an agreement with her a long time ago. The agreement was sealed, although he made it. It had to be known, according to him and his lawyers, no money exchanged hands, and she dropped the whole deal. So he released some text messages and photos that I don't know how he got them. So there he has sex with her. They're in a hotel. She posts a picture. She takes a picture of her. He's sound asleep. He takes a picture of her smirking, sends it to her friend, says his net worth is 50 some million dollars.
Yeah, she took a picture of herself.
Yeah, herself.
With him in the background.
And yeah, yes. While he's asleep, and sends it to her friend. His net worth is 50-some million dollars.
I'm going to see how I can get it. Yeah, she was quite specific to several friends that she was going to try to figure out how to get his money.
So that one got settled a long time ago with no money exchanging hands. He wanted to make sure that that was public, that part. And now this woman, this other woman who came forward, actually indicted yesterday for trying to extort him. And this poor guy went on to say, At this point, I'm not sure what else I can possibly do to prove my innocence of all this. I did not do what I was accused of. Every institution that our society is entrusted to rule in issues like courts, judges, law enforcement officers, prosecutors, etc., all agree with me. But he had his career ruined. He is still wealthy, I'm sure, quite wealthy. He had spent a lot of money in legal bills. But the point just being, sometimes this happens too.
Yeah, I would like to see him sue Major League Baseball or the Dodgers or whomever is appropriate, not to get the money, but on principle. And I'd go ahead and take a dollar settlement. But I want, I would really like to see, because corporations, particularly these days, are so knee-jerk. And they'll chuck, you know, long held principles for whatever hot political moment we're in, be it, you know, DEI after George Floyd, who was one guy, for goodness sakes, or the believe all women thing. All of a sudden, Trevor Bauer, who strenuously denies the charges, is exiled anyway. We can't have that.
Well, can we get to a place where, obviously, there are men out there who are disgusting, sick predators who do horrible things. And obviously, there are women who are disgusting, sick predators who will claim all kinds of things and ruin your life for money. Both of those things exist. Can we be grown up enough to understand that?
Hell hath no wrath like a woman scorned is an ancient saying.
And that we should all wait and see how it turns out before we assume one or the other in any of these cases, probably?
No, I think that's a good policy. The protesters in the streets, what are they up to? Who's financing them? What are their crazy ideas? We'll take a look.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't hide.
No, Google, you can't hide.
You are funding genocide.
You are funding genocide.
The Starbucks one was a little hard to understand. Starbucks, you can't hide in something about Palestine.
Till we have free Palestine or something.
I took that one from Senator John Fetterman's Twitter feed, in which he said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but blocking a bridge or berating folks in Starbucks isn't righteous. It just makes you a bleep hole. And he used the word. A U.S. senator drops an A-H in his Twitter feed.
Yes. Speaking of U.S. senators, we have a slightly more eloquent screed on that topic by Mr. Tom Cotton. Why don't we go ahead and hit that now, Michael, 39.
Vigilantes are blocking traffic in the streets when moms are trying to get kids to school, or people are trying to go to the hospital, or just trying to get to work. Should be removed from the streets. Yes, I said that. I posted it. I would say it again today, and I would do it myself if I found myself in that situation.
But you said people should take matters into their own hands. Can you just clarify what that means? Because some people think it could call for violence. Yeah. But
it calls for getting out of your car and forcibly removing pro-Hamas vigilantes who are blocking the streets on major highways so traffic can continue.
A proposition that for all of human history would have been uncontroversial. There are jackasses blocking the streets over their jackass political stance.
If you're going to listen to a U.S. senator.
I'm going to listen to the other U.S. senator, if I might. I'm going to drag their jackass off the street and out of the way of the cars. That's the way it's done in virtually every country on earth, except the woke few, the U.S., Canada, and Great Britain, practically. Anyway, so I'm with Tom Cotton, but we've got a bit of a digest of related stories here, including the University of Southern California, which has canceled the valedictorian's commencement speech over safety concerns. First of all, the idea that a vast university would have a valedictorian is a dopey idea, and they're like many universities, I think they're going to stop. But this woman, Asna Tabusum, who was chosen for probably woke reasons anyway. She was supposed to address the giant stadium full of graduates, but she's got a number of online social media posts that are anti-Israel or pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic, links to organizations that are absolutely anti-Semitic, and that sort of thing, and the university caving, I probably shouldn't use that word, realizing that it's a hell of a controversial prospect to have her addressing the crowd at the graduation, so they're not going to.
I like the response to that, where they're acting like this is sweeping the nation, this anti-Muslim bias on college campuses. Okay.
Oh, yeah. She put out her statement through CARE, the Council of on Islamic American or American Islamic Relations, which was disavowed by the FBI a number of years ago. They realized that, no, they have way too many ties to groups that are tied to terrorist organizations. And I've heard them called a Muslim supremacist organization. I don't know that I would use that term, but the people who used it know what they're talking about. Anyway, here is Ms. Tabusum explaining herself. 38, Michael.
I expressed an opinion through a link that I had on my Instagram. The hate and the vitriol that was unleashed towards me after, I think, was part of the reason that the university caved in. And so when it comes to being a free speech issue, sure, maybe my valedictory speech is a privilege. But at the end of the day, my views, the views that I have expressed and the views that USC has instilled within me as well, were stifled and were subject to hate.
Hate?
You're a radical. You're an anti-Semite. You want Israel. Oh, one of the links, it's funny, I can't find it now. Her Instagram profile includes a link to a site that references Palestinian liberation and the abolishment of the State of Israel. So you want Israel wiped off, or all the Jews to be swept out of Israel, dear. You expressed an opinion. I like chocolate ice cream better than vanilla. That's an opinion. I prefer cats to dogs. Lower maintenance. That's an opinion. I think the Jews ought to be wiped out of Israel. That's more than an opinion, but thanks for coming. Moving along, I thought this was interesting. UC Berkeley, speaking of nutty California universities, an anti-Israel campus group gathered. This is a pretty big crowd, too. I'm bad at estimating crowds, but that looks to be 450 people, something like that. A student group at Berkeley rallied behind Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel over the weekend, the Islamic Republic of Iran, arguing that the Jewish state bears responsibility for the Iranian attack. Iran wasn't attacking Israel. They were defending themselves, said this group, on an American college campus. As Iran launched an attack involving hundreds of drones, ballistic missiles, and cruise missiles on Sunday, Berkeley's Bears for Palestine declined to condemn the unprecedented attack and instead blamed Israel. The student group shared a graphic on Instagram with the caption, Iran wasn't attacking Israel, it was responding.
Right.
The post was accompanied by a second claiming that Iran attacked Israel because Israel refused a Gaza ceasefire.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that?
Hamas refused the ceasefire over the weekend, which didn't get near the news coverage it should have. Yet another proposition put out there for a ceasefire and Hamas said no. It's never portrayed that way in the news. They've said no over and over again.
Right. Right. Berkeley's Vice Chancellor of Communications, Dan Mogiloff, told the Free Beacon on Monday, that while students have the right to express their views, even if they are without factual basis, nice call, Dan. Well said. They do not speak for the university. Then he goes into some detail, defends free speech, blah, blah, blah. But I liked that shot. Well played. You know, what's interesting, and this is a common thread running through a lot of these stories, is, for instance, what was the example I was going to use? That's right. Need to get to that later. The dean of the, I think it was yet another California university, Stanford School of Law, he has this big dinner reception for all of the people who are going to graduate. It's a celebration of them and their achievement and blah, blah, blah. Well, a bunch of pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas students in that very class ruined it. They started chanting and yelling at him in his own home, by the way, and just turned it so ugly. And I'll get into detail on the story, but the common thread is, because this guy is said to be a good man, a good and decent man, y'all have created a monster on your campuses through your progressive policies, your one-sided faculty, your no dissenting point of view, your critical theory, all of that. You have created a monster in your students. And now you are sad, you're disappointed, you're hurt when the monster turns on you. That's not like a weird thing with creating a monster. That's what happens when you create monsters. That's not a glitch. That's not unfortunate. It's inevitable. The mob turned on you. Yes, that's what mobs do. Speaking of which, this was some good coverage. The left-wing dark money behind the bail fund for the Free Palestine bridge blockers. Talked about this some yesterday, did some digging, and here it is. Scores of Free Palestine protesters across the U.S. took to the streets Monday, blocked airports, highways, bridges. We all saw that. Those who are arrested will receive bail money and legal support from a left-wing dark money behemoth funded by good old George Soros, according to an online fundraising page. The protests, which took place in dozens of U.S. cities, were organized by A15 Action, a newly formed group that works to, quote, coordinate a multi-city economic blockade on April 15th in solidarity with Palestine. The group's website directs users to a, quote, bail and legal defense fund hosted by Act Blue, the Democratic Party's online fundraising juggernaut. So if you wonder what the Democratic Party's stance is on all this, their main online fundraiser is bailing all these people out of jail after they block traffic, prevent you from getting to works, your schools, your hospitals, whatever, catching your flight.
That should be known. If it's awful that Republican donations to the Trump campaign go to his legal bills, I think it's fair to also say, you realize that the Biden campaign money goes to bailing out people who kept you from getting to work today?
Yeah, absolutely. Those who donate to the fund, the Act Blue page says, are sending money to the Community Justice Exchange, which provides money, bail, court fees and fines, and other legal services to community-based organizations, blah, blah, blah. As we described, the exchange is a project of the Tide Center, a left-wing dark money network funded by Soros and other liberal billionaires. What's interesting to me, I should say that the A15 folks that organized this, said it identified, quote, major choke points in the economy that it would blockade to cause pain.
Okay, we can't be putting up with this.
Yeah, deliberate economic harm, which I believe is actionable. I hate to turn to attorneys when I'd like to just drag their ass off the road and throw them in the San Francisco Bay, but that's just me. What I think is interesting about this and incredibly annoying is these, pardon me, pissant little would-be Che Guevaras in their masks and their keffiyehs, acting like they're brave revolutionaries in a country where free speech is protected and you've got to work to get thrown in jail. And even then, it's fine.
Right.
They're taking zero risk because their bail money, everything, all their legal costs, it's all being covered by far-left radical activist groups.
It's the opposite of risk. Everybody in your friend group is going to give you tons of likes on your Instagram and TikTok. you're going to come out of that feeling better about yourself and having more social status.
Right. You've read my mind. Exactly the point I was going to make. It's so obvious now that it reminds me of in the late 60s, early 70s. If you're old enough, you remember this, or maybe you've read about it. The idea of radical chic, where the movers and shakers in Manhattan, the rich people, really like to hang out with Marxists, or, you know, I got pictures of Yoko Ono and John Lennon hanging out with, you know, various activists and nut jobs, the Black Panthers, whatever. And this is a similar phenomenon. We've come out of a period of peace and prosperity and really pretty good times. And now bored youngsters are trying to act like, well, I think the term I heard in a broadcast report was pissant would-be Che Guevara's, just because they get social currency from it. Drag them off the road.
Or, as Senator John Fetterman said, you're just an AH for berating people in line at a Starbucks. I'm just here to get coffee. I have a caffeine addiction. It's on my way to work. Why are you screaming at me about Palestine?
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. We don't have time for it, but my eye was caught by an article in the National Review about how a lot of the anti-Israel demonstrations and blockades and such are happening in Teaneck in Bergen, New Jersey, which is where my parents grew up. And I spent many a lovely summer week at my grandparents' house, and big family picnics and get-togethers where the cousins would run and play. And then and I would steal sips from my uncle's beers, perhaps exposing a bit of an issue I may have. Anyway, but I kid. I'm a very responsible drinker. But, what was I going to say? Oh, but Muslim groups, pro-Palestinian groups, are coming from several towns away to protest in those towns because they have very large Jewish populations.
Mm.
Now, explain that to me. Getting in the face of Jews about how angry you are about Israel, the rest of it. Man, we have some fault lines in this country.
Right. Trying to provoke a reaction.
Exactly.
That they can use to their benefit. Yeah, that's ugly. I've got another example from the anti-work Reddit forum that I really enjoy. It's kind of a little thing we can discuss, among other things on the way. Stay here.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The CDC is investigating more than a dozen illnesses linked to counterfeit Botox injections. At least 19 people have been treated in 9 states, several patients hospitalized. Authorities warn many of the fake products were improperly labeled or given by unlicensed people and not in a health setting. Health officials say FDA-approved Botox is safe. They urge people use only licensed professionals.
I don't know what to do for people. What are we supposed to do for people who go to not real dentists, not real Botox people, whatever, because it's cheaper? You're rolling the dice. You know you're rolling the dice. If something goes wrong, I don't know. What are you supposed to do with that information? Go to a real person.
If I'm
going to
get a fake drug, I'd prefer it not be one that I get jabbed into my face.
Well, yeah, I get it. And it's a crime and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know. I'm not going to go to a fake Botox person. I'd rather have wrinkles. All right.
I had a great experience with my calf implants in a man's garage. Very good service. Waiting room was pleasant.
Wasn't that our old producer, Dominic? He went to a garage dentist because it was much cheaper. An off-the-books garage dentist.
Wow.
So, anti-work is a Reddit forum. Do you know what Reddit is? I heard about Reddit for years before I ever got on it. Now it's really easy to waste a lot of time on Reddit because there's threads and forums about everything. Millions and millions of people are on Reddit. But anyway, one of their popular forums is called anti-work. Several million people. And it says here, it's a subreddit for those who want to end work, are curious about ending work, want to get the most out of a work-free life. What the hell are you talking about?
Wow, that is something.
I would love to talk to millions of people who are on this. How are you crafting society where people don't work? Anyway, I got a couple of examples of, and this is just like in the last week. These aren't like all-time greatest hits. These are just recent ones. Here's one. He posted this. One time I sent my rent late, and my landlord complained because the bank overdrafted him on his mortgage payment. What the F? Realizing my landlord is living my paycheck to my paycheck is insane. And then the response to a lot of the followers was, this is how the French Revolution started. I like what you're implying. We 100% will see a revolution in our lifetimes. The idea that somebody who owns a property, they're renting it out, needs the rent to make the mortgage payment on the place. So they're living off your money somehow. And like taking from you somehow? I mean, it's really interesting to see the mindset of a lot of these people.
How do you keep coming to conclusions that are exactly the opposite of what is true?
But anyway,
it's an odd mindset.
I didn't want to get hung up on that one. Oh, yeah, that one is very popular. Just the idea that all landlords are bad and evil and what? They should just buy a house, make the payments, and let you stay there for free? I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that is. I don't know if I have time for this one to fully get into it.
Give us a taste.
Okay. It's a kid who quit his job, 17-year-old. Thank you for the opportunity, but I feel that this job isn't a right fit for me. Sorry that I won't be able to finish out the week. That's okay. I'll run the payroll this weekend and pay for you today. It will be in your account on Tuesday. The first day isn't paid because that was training. Actually, legally, you're required to pay me for Monday or I will contact the ombudsman. Yes, we'll pay you, but one day's pay is not a big deal for us. But if you follow this legalistic approach, I don't like your chances with other employers.
Hmm.
Everybody was on the side of the kid for standing up for his rights, for getting training for a day, then quitting on the place and demanding he be paid for his training day. Good luck in life. I agree with the employer.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.